Before we start, I want to tell you something, my sister. I see you. I know you feel like time has been running from you. You feel stressed practically every day. You're distracted and sometimes even unmotivated to spend time with God. It is so hard for you to hear from God every day because you barely have enough time to get ready, go flying out the door, and start yet another day relying on your own strength and your own wisdom, only to feel defeated again and again. Sister, I know how that feels because I have been there. I'm here to tell you that there is a way for you to hear directly from God every single day and get the strength and guidance you need for the life that Jesus wants you to live. A life to the fullest. A life with purpose and peace. Do you know what it takes, sister? It takes consistently hearing from God through a personal Bible study routine. Sister, it is time to say yes to growing closer to God each day. So, I have a question for you. Are you ready to take back your time with God? Are you ready to stop letting the enemy get in the way of your most important relationship? If you said yes, just go to theintentionalchristianwoman.com to book your call with me today. I look forward to hearing from you, my sister. Hey, sister. So if you're listening to this on Good Friday, I wish you a beautiful holy weekend, Good Friday and Saturday and Sunday, Easter. So I want to start by saying that today is part two. We started Monday and we read from Jesus' anointing all the way through Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And I told you that I would be back here on Friday to do a bonus episode. And the original plan was to actually share the live with you from Facebook, which happened in our community, which if you're not a part of, by the way, you can catch that live. You just simply go to bit.ly/let's be intentional, so you can join and watch the live there. So I had to do a plan B because when I was doing, basically, let's just say there's technical difficulties and I can't get the download. So because of that, I decided to do this a little bit adjusted. So instead of reading all of it, I want to invite you to go to the live and listen to all of it so you can see, get the full story. But for now, I'm going to just kind of share with you the reflections that I did. Okay, so I'll go through the verses that stood out the most. And I would like to ask for you to go into the group and listen to the rest of it. When you have a moment, go ahead and listen through. Or you can feel free today, if you're listening, especially on Good Friday or anytime this weekend, read Matthew 26, basically. So Matthew 26, 27, and 28. And I'm going to start from Gethsemane, verse 36. And I'm going to read basically through the end of the chapter from verse all the way through chapter 28, all the way through the end. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start my reflections. And so let's do this. Let's do it. Okay, so the first reflection as I looked at, as we read through Gethsemane, is the verse 38 where it says, he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." So that's where Jesus was in Gethsemane, and he asked his two of his disciples' friends to join him and just stay there and pray with him. And so he was pouring out his heart to God. He said, "My Father," another verse that stood out in verse 39, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And so that those are the two verses, because it first you see number one over in verse 38 that Jesus was very human in how he was feeling, overwhelmed with sorrow, overwhelmed to the point of death. This is how much his sorrow was in him. This state of sadness was overwhelming him and he needed to pray. And then when he went further, he fell with his face to the ground, prostrate before the Lord. This is the Son of God, okay? And he's like, "Father, if it is possible, please don't let me go through this. Please don't let me go through this. Is there another way?" I can imagine like him like thinking, "Is there another way? This is going to be hard." But then he says, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." That's brave. That's hard. Right? The good thing is that afterwards, after he prayed and surrendered, like he came out stronger than ever. And this is the encouragement and my favorite part of this because it reminds us how the power of prayer and surrendering to God's will, the amazing power that it has in our lives, the peace that it gives us once we truly surrender to his will and say, okay, God, in your hands, right? And so he was surrendered. And so then he would go into the next part where he's arrested. And in verse 53, it says, they go to arrest him. Do you think I cannot call? So, Peter apparently goes in and strikes one of the servants, one of the servants, oh, sorry, one of the soldiers, and basically cuts off his ear trying to defend Jesus. You know what I mean? But he's like, stop it. Do you think I cannot call on my father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? God said in the scriptures throughout the whole entire Bible, the Old Testament, that this was going to happen. There's prophecy after prophecy. Jesus is everywhere in the Bible, and Jesus says it. How else would it happen? It has to be fulfilled. These are the prophecies. Like, God knew this would happen. So he's like, put your swords away. I'm not leading a rebellion here. Like, I could literally call angels to save me. And that is so empowering to me personally as a daughter of God. It should be empowering to you, my sister, because like God can do that, right? But this was not this particular situation, that wasn't his will. Jesus had to go through this, right? But you see how strong Jesus was after that prayer. He's like, look, that's it. It's got to happen. End of story, period. That's it, right? Again, oh, the prayer in Gethsemane, the strength that it gave him, the will, the surrender. Wow. You see it throughout this entire reading. So I'm going to go skip over now to Jesus before the Sanhedrin, which is the next part. And the part that stood out was, he goes there and he's before the chief priests and the leaders, the Jewish leaders, and basically they're accusing him. And he's basically like, they say, are you the Messiah? And then he says, you have said so. And like, he doesn't say anything else. Like, he's quiet with the other ones, but he's like, you have said so. And of course, they're like, no way, you spoke blasphemy over in 65. Do we need any more witnesses? You see, he spoke blasphemy. And so they believed he like spoke blasphemy, He's worthy of death, they said. And here's the part, another part, the part that you really start seeing him, be abused and physically and also just emotionally, just humiliated, where in verse 67 it says, then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you? Right? So then, like, here is the violence starts. Peter disowns Jesus. Well, remember Peter earlier on Monday when Jesus was like, I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I'll die with you. Now, here he is abandoning his loyalty to Jesus when a few people, just servants really, go to him and a servant girl and couple other people say, hey, aren't you that follower of Jesus? Aren't you one of those? And he denies it. And so when the rooster crows, when Jesus said he'll disown him three times, it says he went out bitterly. He went outside and wept bitterly. He realized, oh my gosh, like I really did deny him. Then we have Judas, who now, goes and realized, oh my gosh, like, okay, this was blood money. Like I did something wrong. He started feeling terrible. And then he goes and returns the money. And then basically he leaves the temple and he hangs himself. And so he felt bad, but instead of repenting like Peter did, we know Peter's, if you know the Bible, you know about Peter. Peter later goes on to do amazing things for God and just amazing, amazing. And helps start the church, all that stuff. Like, Peter just becomes a different person, right? Just completely repents. But Judas did not repent. Instead, he kind of was in his own sorrow and just felt so bad. He didn't want to feel that pain, but he didn't want to repent. He could have asked God to forgive him, but he did not. And so he chose the other way. Jesus before Pilate, the part that I want to reflect on here is verse 24. It says, when Pilate, he was questioning him and Jesus was just answering him like, okay, this, that, whatever, answering his questions. And what he didn't find any fault in him. A pilot's like, what did he do? But because the crowd wanted to have the other criminal, Jesus Barabbas, it's called Jesus Barabbas, they wanted him to be freed. Now, this guy was a real criminal, okay? Like, I'm talking like this guy should not have been released, but Pilate was, after all, a politician and a people-pleasing politician, and so he did what the people wanted. And so he said, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. It's your responsibility." And honestly, he's not innocent of his blood. He's not. He could have saved him. He could have done his part, right? Okay. And then I also reflected on verse 26. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Now, if you're not familiar with the whole physical process of flogging and crucifixion, even surviving a Roman flogging would kill people many times, would kill people. So that right there was like just a very, very, very like excruciating experience for him. All right, we're gonna go now to verse 29, and it says, after soldiers mocked Jesus, and then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head, and they put a staff in his right hand, and they were like, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Basically, they're mocking him, they're totally mocking him. And then down in, again, more humiliation for Jesus, under the crucifixion, it says in verse 42, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let God rescue him if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" More teasing, more taunting. And the rebels next to him, the thieves on the cross, also did the same thing. The death of Jesus. Here's where my heart always, like, in the if you're looking, if you're watching the lives, you'll hear my voice shaking up, because every time I read this, I'm like, oh my goodness. When he gave up his spirit, well, before he gave up his spirit, he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And so just to have him had that moment of like, wow, like, I'm alone. God, he was the sacrifice. He was the lamb. All the sins were placed on him, And he, God, that feeling of like, oh my gosh, you abandoned me. Like, I don't know that Jesus had ever felt that alone. So that's also very heartbreaking. Probably even more heartbreaking than the physical trauma he was already undergoing. And then in verse 50, when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. My goodness, that was a sight. Like, whoa. Bodies of many holy people were raised to the, raised from the dead. People came out of their tombs after their, I mean, I just can't even, I can't imagine a sight like that. Like, that's kind of crazy, right? But like, it's crazy, but it's real. Like, it's what happened, And then people around there, even the centurion, they were like, surely that was the Son of God, because they saw all the stuff that was happening. The people right there were like, oh my gosh, he was the Son of God. Right? I mean, that isn't that like amazing? Okay. So then, of course, they buried Jesus, and thankfully he had a proper burial. Joseph, he paid for all the costs. He made sure his body was clean, and he was wrapped up in linen and was placed in a tomb and all that. And then, of course, Pilate was asked to secure the tomb with guards, because the Jews were thinking that they were gonna start spreading lies. So he said, okay, fine, go secure it. But nevertheless, guess what happens? Guess what happened? Jesus has risen. And here's the amazing news. In chapter 28, after the Sabbath, Magdalene and the other Mary went to look in the tomb, and he wasn't there. And there was an angel who said, "Look, don't be afraid. Like, he has risen. So go tell everyone." Okay? So they go and run, and they're like afraid, but also filled with joy. Whoa, it's crazy. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Right? And so Jesus comes to them and tells them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brother." This was amazing. Like, Jesus, one thing I shared in the live was that Jesus, came to the women and showed himself to the women first. Like, I love how Jesus treats women. I love how he respects women, holds them in high regard. And you see that here, it's amazing. They were the first ones. And then the reports that now they spread, because the guards go and report what was happening. Now the elders and the chief priests pay the soldiers and say, look, just tell everyone the disciples came and stole him. Okay? And so they did what they said, and they spread these lies. And to this day, it says people, that's what the Jews believe. Okay? So definitely messed up, but that's what happened. And then lastly, one of the last words of Jesus, one of the last things that you see here in the Bible is the Great Commission, where he basically says, look, I'm going to give you a command now, okay? You are going to make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So make disciples, okay? All nations, all kinds, all people, doesn't matter where they're from, right? No being picky now. Baptize them. That's also very important. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey. Even after, teach them to obey. We have a responsibility, brothers and sisters. If you're a sister, if you're a brother listening, we have a responsibility to do that. And it's not just the disciples that were there. It's us. It's not just our church leaders. It's us too. And then, of course, he makes a promise that he's going to be with them all the way to the end, which is super, super assuring and super encouraging. And that's what I reflected on. So I broke it down a little quicker. But please go into the live to finish to read through if you would like to do that. And again, you can do that by getting into our community, by joining, and go to bit.ly/letsbeintentional. And I love this community. It's a great sisterhood. It's growing and growing. We, again, do live Bible studies there. We encourage with scripture. We encourage with prayer. We pray for one another. It is just such an amazing and tight-knit community. I am so grateful for every woman in there. All right, sister. So I invite you to join. Okay, my sister, I want to say that I love you. I hope and pray that you have a beautiful Easter. And I want you to look out, by the way, for a brand new reconstructed, renewed website that I'm going to have going out in early April, most likely on Monday. You'll see it live. So check it out. All right. If it's not on Monday, it'll definitely be later that week, just depending on the technical things that I got going on. Because, you know, we didn't have much luck technically this time around. So I had to kind of redo this a little differently. But it's okay. You know what? I still showed up. We're still here on the bonus episode. And I'm so, so grateful that you can be here this Good Friday. I love you, my sister. Remember to take time to reflect. Take time to be grateful, to say thank you, Lord, for your salvation. All right, my sister, I love you, and I'll see you on Monday. Bye.